Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open this morning in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. And as we see the faithfulness to Elijah today once again, and standing alone in the middle of the wilderness of the enemy and the concentration of the power of the enemy of 450 false prophets of Baal, and the king and the queen totally committed to Baal, and here is Elijah all by himself. But Lord, with you, we're never alone. Never alone. And if we're with you, we're a majority no matter what. So Lord, as we look at this situation on Mount Carmel, which we're familiar with, may we glean what you would have to speak to us right now in it, and lead us in this time of prayer, in Jesus' name. Well, let's begin by just singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, because that is always a good song to sing, because it's always true, is it not? Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. Words are at the top if you need them.
Great is Thy Faithfulness, O
on your map today, I just kind of like to keep in mind where we are up at the upper right-hand corner, of course. You'll see the little dashed line starts off right under the word MT, Carmel, over in the right corner of the map. That would have been the Brook Cherith. And then the next place that God provided for Elijah was all the way up at Zarephath, up in the upper part of your map over on the coast. So he would have gone where that dashed line is, or at least that's what this particular map drawer thought. And then he's up at Zarephath for quite a long time. And then he came down all the way down to Mount Carmel, which is down here in the lower left part of the map. And that's where we are today. In chapter 18, we just had, of course, the Elijah raising the woman's son from the dead. And then in chapter 18, it begins, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. So they've had, this is the third year of drought now, saying, Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So the drought is about to be over, if Elijah does what he's told to do. Of course, he went to present himself to Ahab, and he runs into Obadiah. Obadiah is a godly man who has protected some of the prophets in a couple of caves, 50 each apparently, while Ahab and Jezebel were killing all the prophets. And Obadiah is a godly man, but he is apparently Ahab's right-hand man. And so to try to find Elijah, they had split up, and they were trying to find some grass. And of course, Ahab is on a rampage these last 3 years because he goes to the other nations surrounding and so forth, and he wants to find Elijah and have him killed. And he even makes the nations make an oath that they haven't seen him and that they will report to Ahab immediately if they do see him. So he's serious. And so now Obadiah runs into him. It's kind of funny in a way. Not really funny, but it's funny. Verse 7, now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly, this Elijah is always suddenly. He always suddenly comes from somewhere. Suddenly, Elijah met him. And Obadiah recognized him and fell on his face. Is that you, my lord Elijah? And he answered, it is I. Go tell your master, Eliah's here. Oh, what are you talking about? If I tell him you're here, he's going to have my head unless you show right up because, the spirit takes you away and nobody sees you for 3 years. I don't know. Can I trust you really? He's worried about himself. Have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said he's not here, he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now you say, go tell him that Eliah is here, and it shall come to pass as soon as I'm gone that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you away to a place I don't know. And when I go and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. And he goes ahead and tells him, but I've feared the Lord and protect the prophets and so forth. Now, Elijah gives a promise here in verse 14. 15, he says, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. So Ahab takes him, or Obadiah takes him, and they meet Ahab. And of course, then Ahab says, is that you, O troubler of Israel? You know, that's always the way it is, isn't it? When you have a godless nation, and they get in all kinds of trouble, they're going to blame the righteous, right? And they're going to blame God. The problem in this nation is too many Christians, right? So that's what they got here. He says, Elijah, you're the problem here. He's not the problem. The problem is Ahab and Jezebel and the false worshiping of Baal. And so Elijah tells Ahab. And now, it just seems to me that Elijah has been 3 years preparing this sermon. It's a short sermon. He's got a private ministry, and now he's going to go public. Boom, just like this. And he says in verse 19, now, therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Now, we have the 450 prophets of Baal mentioned all the way through here, and they will be killed. We don't have anything mentioned about the 400 prophets of Asherah, and it's believed by most people that those were assistants to the other prophets, and they each had a position in the high place, one of the high places, one of the bad places in Israel. So there were like some people think that they mentioned 400 because that number went way up during Ahab's reign because he established so many more false places to worship. We see right away now that Elijah is going to be alone against these 450 prophets of Baal. So he says, get them up there. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together in Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, now this is a really good question for us too. How long will you falter between two opinions? A divided heart, or trying to serve two gods and you end up not serving either one? Because you've got one foot in the world and one foot on the Lord, so to speak, and that's a miserable place to be. You got too much of the Lord in you to be comfortable in the world. You got too much of the world in you to be comfortable in the Lord. And they were, they were serving Jehovah on Sunday, and the rest of the time they were worshiping Baal, And part of it was due to the king, but part of it was just due to, what they were happy to do, divided heart. They were faltering between serving one of the gods. And so Elijah is going to bring this to a head right now. He says, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Now, we know the Baal was nothing but a figment of their imagination, but I think Satan usually uses these kind of figments of imagination in a sense and puts some power to it spiritually, demonically, so there's kind of something there that happens and you believe there is a false god. And I think we see that still today. But the people answered him not a word. They didn't have anything to say. What could they say? What you say is not true? Of course it was true. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone, there's that word alone, am left a prophet of the Lord. That's not going to turn out to be true. But anyway, he's alone there. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now that's quite a great group. I don't know if you've ever seen 450 people together or not, but that's a big group, isn't it? I mean, against you alone. Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Now, he's setting this up all in Baal's favor. He's already proven that Baal isn't much of a god of weather when they've had drought for 3 years, and Baal is supposed to be the god of rain and so forth. He's also to be the god of fire. So if he's the god of fire, man, this is right in his backyard. Bring the fire down, right? And they're going to have him do it through the heat of the day, which it's going to get the easiest to set fire when it's hot in the day than when it's cold. So he's going to give them all of the opportunities here to let Baal show what he has. Then when you put lay the bull on the altar, on the wood, put no fire under it, then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people said, it's well spoken. And I bet most of them thought, man, this isn't going to be close. I mean, you got 450 guys praying here to their God, and you got Elijah alone. Guess how this is going to come out? I bet the fire comes down on the Baal. Well, we know better, because we know the story too. They said, it's well spoken. Now, Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull, as I mentioned. Call on the name, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull, which was given them. They prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. So now that's probably 2 or 3 hours they're calling on him. Getting warm, getting hot, getting as easy to get a fire as it's ever going to be. Hear us! But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leapt on the altar, leaped about on the altar which they had made. And it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he's a god. He's meditating. He's busy. That in the Hebrew means that he's going to the bathroom, relieving himself, taking care of his needs. He is busy, or he's out on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. Sad to have a god you have to wake up, isn't it? So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they've been screaming and yelling about for about 6 hours, apparently. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Apparently it was an old altar, and it's been broken down. So he put the stones, 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. Then he said, do it a third time. And so they did. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said. Now here's his prayer. Notice that this is a really lofty, long prayer that goes on for hours. No, it's a very short prayer. So the keys to this prayer are, as far as I'm concerned, the effectiveness. Number one, it's brief, to the point. It's also, he will refer to himself as his servant. He's a servant of the Lord, and he is obedient to the word of God. If you want your prayers answered, be a servant of the Lord and be obedient to the word of God and be praying in accordance with God's will. That's it. It's not long, lofty, fancy words or anything else. So he says, Yahweh, Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. We certainly have the right God here. Let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I am your servant and that I've done all the things at your word. So, How are we? How strong are our prayers today or any day? Do we look on ourselves as servants of the Lord? Slaves of the Lord, in other words? And can we say, I've done all these things? In other words, I've been obedient. I am being obedient to your word through the power of the Holy Spirit that you've given me. And then he says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. You don't see much in there, a me, other than he was obedient to the Lord and he's saying, I'm your servant. So it's a great prayer to model our prayers after, either in public or in private. So pay attention to verses 36 and 37. So that's the prayer for today. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, Yahweh, he is Elohim, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal, do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Now, on your notes here, I just jotted down Deuteronomy 13:5 and Deuteronomy 18:20. So Elijah is performing specifically the way the law of Moses called for. Deuteronomy 13:5 says, but that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he's spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God. 18:20 says, but the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. It's not that Elijah is gloating in his victory and he's heartless and he's going to wipe out his enemy just because he won. No, they're blaspheming the Lord. They're leading people away from the Lord, and they're to die. And so he executes 450. And I was thinking about what would that scene be like as the 400. I mean, one man can't kill 450 at once. If you chop, it's going to take a while. And you're standing in line, moving up in line, you know, getting closer to the chopping. That must have been quite something, you know. I don't know how all that worked out. But we know the Lord is faithful. And Elijah now has glorified the Lord in his act of faith. And you would think that he is so faithful, we just have to live like him. But we'll see in the very next chapter, he gets afraid. So that will speak to some of us as well. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this great prayer example again today. And we thank you that we can pray, Lord. We can pray in this group here, this all together, one at a time, as the Spirit would lead. And then a little later on, we could pray in smaller groups. But guide us now as we go to prayer, praying as you would lead us to pray on the things that you would put in our hearts to pray for. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, may all your people praise you. May we give you all glory, Lord. May you be magnified in every little body of the big body of Christ. And may you be glorified in each of our lives, Lord. And may it all be about you and not about us, Lord. Help us in that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.